Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? He loves you.
Thank you for tuning in to There's Nothing New Under the Sun. This is yours truly, Pastor C. We're in the Sanctuary Studio in Forestville, Maryland. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Thursday. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I believe I have on the line tonight my big sister, Sheila G., on the line.
Yes, sir, I am.
Praise God. Welcome back. Hope you had a good couple weeks off.
Amen.
And Dr. G, you on the line with us?
Yes, sir. We're here.
Praise God. We thank God for my good friend and my mentor. Did you get a chance to get a little R&R, doctor?
I did. I made a point of it.
Amen. Amen. Well, it's glad that God can allow us to get away and get some rest. But we're excited about getting back on the Bible study line, and we're going to open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we humbly bow, God, and thank you for another privilege, another opportunity to get together and study your word. And God, we pray that you would bless us, that we would be able to study, to show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others. And as always, God, we pray that this will be done to your glory, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Sheila G., we're back in the book of Acts, and a very powerful book about the first century church and how God demonstrates to us in his word how the same things that were going on in the church in the first century, the same things going on in the 21st century, mm-hmm. and how through the power of his Holy Spirit, he dealt with folk. I call them folk. People say folk people. You know, individuals, whatever you want to call people, humans. And since we all live on this planet called Earth, you know, we're all creatures, and we all have our ways. And so God loved us so much that he gave us this awesome word to be able to show us how to deal with each other.
Amen.
And the last time we got together, we were talking about some disgruntled folks in the church. Can you imagine that? there were some murmuring, disgruntled folks in the church, and God showed the church how to deal with it. And because they were obedient, they saw blessings from being obedient, being humble, being in unity, And I think Sheila G, if we would take a cue from the early church and learn how to be led by the Spirit and strive for spiritual knowledge and wisdom and learn to be humble and learn to follow God, that I think all of our lives and the lives of the church would be a whole lot better.
Amen. Amen. And the two key words that you said were to be led by the Spirit and to be humble. I think that's one of the ways that Satan really seeks to destroy those in the church is by coming to our pride and our ego and our emotions. And if we have ego and pride, we can't be humble because we're giving ourselves credit to ourselves and not to God. And then if you're looking at yourself, you can't be led by the Spirit. But if you're being led by the Spirit and you keep humility, then God's church can be more powerful in drawing others.
Amen, amen. Dr. G, in that seventh verse of the sixth chapter, at the end of that verse, he said that the word of God spread, the number of disciples increased rapidly, or the King James, or in a great company, the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. And it just seems like, I think last time we were together, Sheila G said it was a win-win situation.
Mm-hmm.
But it just seems like if you know, people in the church and people of God want the word to spread and disciples to increase rapidly, and you know, the people in the ministry became obedient to the faith, you would think that, you know, people would hone in on what it takes to do this. But it seems like to me, Dr. G, that people are doing everything but what, you know, is demonstrated here in Acts 6.
You're Dr. right.
G.
You would think if, you know, and I guess the key is if people were really in tune with the word. But, you know, what you were saying in the beginning about disgruntled folk, people in the church, you know, and that's, it's hard to get people to understand, you know, we have to be led by the Holy Spirit and then we have to humble ourselves. But with some folk, they get into these little emotions and then the devil just takes control and peace within the church just can't last. And so then you've got a bunch of disgruntled folk. They find anything and everything to bring up at some of the darndest times.
Amen.
Amen. And it takes that faithful few, and it was seven of them. It started out with seven of them, and they were full of the Spirit and wisdom, and that is what led the church. Spirit-filled folk using godly wisdom, and when that is your foundation, we, you know, as demonstrated in the word, we should be able to experience, you know, the spread of the word and increase of disciples. But we have to learn how to take it back to the basics and how we deal with each other, because, you know, when we deal with each other according to the word of God, we can get along. But if
That's
it's all
right.
about me or it's all about you, we'll never get along, and it's a shame that the word of God gets the word of God gets stymied and discipleship gets stymied because people that are in the church can't get along. See what I mean?
Amen. And they're not getting along because they're not being led by the Holy Spirit, as you were talking. As far as the church growing, and particularly in chapter 6, verse 7, rapidly, we have to have that childlike faith. And when you think about childlike, you think about our kids when they're younger. They've only known us a few years, but they have that faith, us as parents, that we're going to take care of them, that we're going to make sure they're fed. We're going to make sure that we're going to protect them. And they just truly have that childlike faith. It's not according because mm-hmm. they've been or have that kind of wisdom. But they just know that we're their parent and we're going to love them and we're going to take care of them. So they look to us for that. And that's what we have to have in that church. That's how we have to have with God. We have to have that childlike faith. It's not by something you see. It's not by something that you touch. It's just that you believe mm-hmm. in your spirit that if you do it according to God and what God is telling us to do and how we're being led, then we're just going to trust in him. And that hones down all those isms and those schisms and those issues. We truly do have to have that childlike faith, that faith that a child has in that parent, that no matter what, that mom, that dad's going to be there for them. Mm-hmm. And also discipline them when they're wrong, so they know when mm-hmm. when you know how kids will get that little pitiful look when they know they did something wrong,
right?
And you look at them like, but again, it's that childlike faith that okay, I'm gonna try to act right now, but it's not according to what they know; it's according to what they believe, and we have to do that with God in the same way. It's not based off what we know; it's not based off what we see. It's just mm-hmm. that we know God. We trust and we believe that if we follow what God directs us to do, that we'll be okay.
Amen, amen. And on last time we were together, I was talking about as a leader, Dr. G, that it's a blessing to have people to be able to be led with knowledge and by the Holy Spirit, not need a title. And a
right.
lot of times people look at this as, you know, the beginning of deacons, but they're not even given a title of deacon, but they laid their hand on them and they took care of the ministry and how much of a blessing it is to have people. I call it checking the box. Check the box mm-hmm. every day for ministry. And allows everybody to play their role, stay in their lane, and so people don't have to wear so many hats, and it wears people out in ministry, and people get tired and wore out, and if you're tired and wore out, then a lot of times your attitude's not right, your personality's not right, the things you do is not right, but a lot of times it's because you're wore out because you're trying to do too many things, and it's a blessing to have people that are led by the Spirit, they have godly wisdom. And can come in and check those boxes so the pastor doesn't have to do 100 things. Maybe he only has to do 50 things, Dr. G.
Right. And, you know, the thing is with people like that, they definitely have to be spirit-led, but they have to have a certain type of humbleness that, you know, they don't mind working for the Lord and of a mindset that whatever I can do to help, when I think about mm-hmm. my own ministry, that was the type of mindset that I had growing up. Whatever I could do to help, I was all for it. And I learned that, you know, there was no, and I even today, I tell them there's no job beneath me. If I got to clean mm-hmm. the church, pick up paper, whatever. And mm-hmm. we have to lead by example. And, you know, the Lord will put people there that will trust and believe in how we're leading, but mm-hmm. it starts with the Holy Spirit. You know, they said that they had to seek out among them people that were full of faith and full mm-hmm. of that godly wisdom, and we have to. I go back and I think about when I first came to New Birth, there were a whole lot of titles, and the Lord had to mm-hmm. literally ban that and get rid of folks so that the church could become what he wanted it. Mm-hmm. And now it's of a different spirit. It's a different mindset. You know, we're there. I mean, granted, people still got their emotions, but, you know, they don't bring that to the church. You know, we're about helping mm-hmm. one mm-hmm. another. And, you know, I tell them, I don't care what your title is. You know, if I put you over right. here to help do something, it's to help that person. Amen. And it's under the guidance and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
So, you know, mm-hmm. we've got to be humbled. And I do thank God for folks that are like that.
Amen. It's a blessing. And we thank God that he brings them our way, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to just continue, like you said, be humble and work in ministry. And then Sheila G. We're moving on to verse 8. It teaches us, the Bible teaches us that, you know, in verse 7, you know, folks were happy and they experienced growth and, you know, disciples grew. But we have to understand that that doesn't happen in a vacuum. We still live in this world, and the enemy is going to stay busy. And I think that's one of the things that it catches us off guard. And sometimes things are going good, and we're like, oh, yeah, this is great. This is happening. But it catches us off guard when the enemy comes in. And I've been in several ministries, dealt with many, many churches. And you always have this, I call it the Antichrist factor. Antichrist factor is a factor of the spirit of Antichrist that will try to always do something to create division, to create confusion, that will always try to do things that are against Christ. And people can get influenced by that spirit of Antichrist. And you know, they will take stuff and twist it up for their own purpose and for their own reason and for their own good, because they're getting influenced by the spirit of Antichrist instead of getting influenced by the spirit of Christ. They're getting influenced by the spirit of Antichrist. So what happens in verse 8, Stephen, one of the seven that were chosen, is going about doing his work, carrying out the business of the church, and folk didn't like it.
That's right.
In the church. God's people didn't like it. So they went about a way to try to destroy the ministry. And I've seen it in every church I've helped minister in. There's a spirit of Antichrist that will get people in their emotions, get them influenced, and they will try to destroy the spirit of Christ or the movement of the ministry of Christ. Sheila G.
Amen. And when you read that verse 8 and 9, it's even though this is why this book is so important, because you really can relate to it in today's church. You know, he's doing good, working for the Lord, and here comes that jealousy of, you know, everybody wants to be seen, everybody wants to be number one, everybody, this is my position, somebody taking my position, you know, and that type of thing. And we know of a church now that is like 100, almost 100 years old, and the pastor passed away, but even before he got sick and passed away, while he was sick, all these divisions and all these factions started rising up, I guess, for position or what have you. And so now, once he's passed on, there's confusion in the church. And it's that spirit of they should, with this faction over here versus this faction over there. But when if you almost want to shake them and say, this is God's church. This is not man's church. And you had a pastor that, while he was the leader, that you all didn't, you know, of course it was not a perfect church, but they weren't acting like this. At one point, the pastor had to come off of his sick bed, come all in, he was dying from cancer, to come in front of the congregation to say who was supposed to be in charge while he was on his sick bed. Still having issues with trying to move onto God's church. And that spirit of Antichrist is just like it is in 8 and 9. It's like you got people rising up, opposition, but it's like, hello, aren't we all supposed to be on the same page? At the end of the day, it's not about me. It's not about you. It's not about the person in the front. It's not about the person in the back. It is about God. And if we just step back and realize this is not our church, this is God's church, Lord, what do you want me to do? Use me, because I want to put you first. But here you have a church that's almost 100 years old, that's been around for a long time, and there's so much confusion going on based off people's emotion, and it's all supposed to be about Christ. So it's almost like they're leaving Christ out and not seeking the Holy Spirit, and to say, okay, I may not be comfortable with this, But at the end of the day, it's about what the Lord wants.
Amen. Amen. Dr. G, you wanted to comment on that?
I do. And the problem is not enough people are under the inspiration and the power of the Holy Spirit. Because
Amen.
If they were, that kind of crap wouldn't be coming up in the church. This is why it's important that we study. It's important that we stay connected to the Lord in prayer so that the spirit of the Antichrist can't creep in into the church. Mm-hmm. Now, with on Sundays, that's all great. But the challenge comes once we leave the church and we go back mm-hmm. to our everyday lives, you know, and then we find every excuse as to why we can't pray, why we can't study, you know, and that is what the enemy does. He catches us at a point where we're weak, when we're not in the church setting, so that a lot of times when we come to church, we're not right when we get there. And then
Amen.
There are some folk that will lay their butts right on in bed because they don't feel like coming to church because they were up late Saturday night. And the spirit of the Antichrist is working in a way that people really don't understand. And if we could ever get people to the point where they get in that word and get just like Stephen was full of faith and full of power,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
church would be bad.
Amen. Powerful scripture.
Amen. And that's what he was. He was full of faith and power. That means there wasn't room for anything else. When it's full, there's not room for anything else. You know, full
mm-hmm.
of faith and power, and that's when the enemy or the spirit of Antichrist says, "Let me start working on some of these folk that I knew back in the day, that I could say one or two words to them." And they do whatever I say. That's when Satan was their father.
mm-hmm.
And he knew them, and he knew what buttons to push. And so he tries to go back to that route again, and he uses that spirit of Antichrist to get us to try to take down the power and the faith and the power of God. And we have to be vigilant. It's sort of like at night. You know, when you lock your door,
right,
on your car, or lock the door on your house, or you know, put a password in to put your alarm system on. You know, you have to be vigilant because you never know when mm-hmm. some person is going to come wandering through the neighborhood to try to you know, do something against your property or to you personally. So you have to have that. I know a lot of people every day they get up and they brush their teeth with
mm-hmm.
A paste that has fluoride in it, and
mm-hmm.
and the fluoride helps fight against cavities. So the cavity, the food will try to rot your teeth out. And so
uh-huh.
you do this protection of every morning, putting this paste on this little brush, and then you brush it around in your mouth. You're putting, you know, protective fluoride on your teeth. And you do
mm-hmm.
it every day because, you know, if you don't, then you're going to get a lot of dental problems.
Right.
And so we have to have that type of mentality of if we don't stay full of faith, if we don't stay full of the grace and the power of God, the enemy will try to come in, and he's just waiting for you to leave your door unlocked. He's waiting for you to keep the password off. He's waiting for you to not, you know, floss and brush your teeth. And if you don't, what will happen is that will come in. And if he can get four or five people, you know, not doing that, then you got a mess on your hands. And
that's right.
And so we have to be vigilant. Sheila G, that's the bottom line. You got to be humble, but you got to be vigilant. You know, the Bible talks about Satan is crouching outside your door, waiting for you to slip up. And
right.
we have to come to the realization that if we slip, if we let our guard down, the spirit of Antichrist will come in and take advantage of us. And we have to be prepared for that. And the way Stephen dealt with it was staying humble. And when you stay humble under the midst of the attack, what happened is that is persuasive to those that might be sitting on the fence watching and looking, but it also reveal the spirit of Antichrist. See, that's the thing about the spirit of Antichrist. He don't want to be seen. He want to be slick and working in the dark. But when he comes out and he attacks you, and you stand on the word of God, then what that does is it reveals his attack. It reveals him for who he is. It shows the people that are working for him. It shows the people of who they are. We look at our political environment now, where it was a time where people were ashamed for racist and ungodly acts, but it's reared its head, and
right.
People are being pointed out for who they are and what they are and what's going on, and that's the thing about the spirit of Antichrist, is that when it shows its head. And people act godly in the midst of this spirit of Antichrist, he reveals who he is, and you'll be able to see it on full display. And you'll be able to point it out, and you'll be able to overcome it with the wisdom and the faith and the power and the grace of God, and you'll be able to help strengthen other people like Stephen did in this incident. Sheila G.
Amen. And it's very true. And you see just in this chapter how Satan doesn't give up. It's like even when we have that victory, he's still planning to try to do something. Because if you look at the beginning of this chapter, and even if you look at the end of chapter five, here was Satan rose his head, but then they pushed back and the church grew. Then at the beginning, then you had the widows and the two tribes back, you know, saying, okay, then we're not being fed, they're not. So here comes Satan again. It's like the church grew. And then that's when they came up with the seven. They said, okay, we still got to preach God's word, but pick seven people. So they resolved that issue. So then the church grew again. It talks about that in seven. So now Stephen is one of the seven that they picked. And it's like, now Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, performed great wonders and signs among the people. Opposition arose. However, from members of the synagogue of the freedom, Jews, of Cyrene, Alexandria's all as well, and Cecilia, who began to argue with Stephen. So here you keep every time, that's why we have to be vigilant. It's like every time they had a victory, every time Christ, the church grew, you know, they would resolve one issue, God would give them the Holy Spirit and say, okay, this is how we're going to handle this. Okay, in the beginning of this chapter, the way they handled it is they picked seven that could take care of the widows, and so, but we can still deliver God's word. And he said, okay, everything went fine, and God's adding to the church. Then Stephen, a man full of God, and then here comes opposition. So that is what we have to understand, is that we can't give up. We have to continue to be vigilant about, like as you said, about God's word, understanding that every step we make, God is going to have the victory. But even the more victory that God has, Satan is not going to sit on his butt and say, oh, well, okay, the game is over now. No.
Right.
He's going
right.
to punch back. He's going to keep punching back. But as you can see, you know, as you read on with the rest of this about Stephen, is that he's still going to give you that strength to push back against that opposition.
Mm-hmm.
That's humility and our faith comes through, because the more you see it, the more, like, you know, from the beginning of this book all through now, it's not like they didn't know that Satan hadn't already, like, thrown people in jail, you know, Peter, and then every time you get victory, here he comes again. So I'm sure they knew, okay, God resolved this issue, but y'all know it's going to be in a minute, somebody else is going to rise up. And that's what happens in the church, that's what happens in our lives, but we got to understand that we got to hold on to that victory. Be aware that Satan's not happy. Every time somebody joins the church, every time in our personal lives, God has brought us through, we have the victory. We got to know that he's either going to tempt us or he's going to have somebody come at us. But if we have the strength and the faith, God will allow a way out. We can't stop. We can't stop praying. We can't stop studying. We can't stop going to church. Because that is our armor. That's that whole armor. That's why we have to put on that whole armor. Because we will be full of God. We'll be full of Christ. We can put, you know that God's got our back. But Satan's not going to stop. For every victory, that's just going to piss him off more, and he's going to come at you again.
Amen, amen. And that's the key. Like I said, I use the modern day vernacular, is we got to keep using that fluoride toothpaste. He's trying to take the bite out of it, trying to take teeth out. If you stop using that, and that's the thing, Dr. G, you were saying, you got to be spirit led. You got to walk in the spirit. You got to be so full of the spirit that you can stand up to these things, Dr. G.
Well, you know, along with what everyone's saying, the thing that I've learned in my years of ministry, especially pastoring, is that I stop trying to please people, man, individuals. And my thing is, I have to please God. So I've gotten to the point now where whatever the Holy Spirit leads or guides me to do, I'm going to do. Now, folk may not like it. I could care less. And I tell them up front, this is what the Lord has directed me to do. So if you've got a problem with that, you take that up with the Lord.
And
we have to continue to stand strong in the face of opposition, because Satan is definitely coming at us. And if we bend because we're trying to please this little group over here or that little group over there, you know, we're going to always run into trouble. And I've seen it throughout the years with other churches and other pastors, you know, people that they're people pleasers. And we've trying to please God, but we want to please man. No, I don't have time for that. No, if folks want to go to hell, that's on them. But I'm going to do the Lord tells me to do, which is to continue to preach and teach and at least try to encourage folk that they need the Lord in their life, because they get to the point where they think they can handle things all by themselves.
But then
when trouble comes, then all of a sudden they want to run to the church pastor. Can we talk? Will you pray for me? And I'll pray, and I tell them right quick, look, you need to reconnect with the Lord. And we have to, you know, as leaders, we cannot please people. And that's something I learned on early. So I quit trying to please people. And I've gotten to the point where I'm going to do what the Lord tells me to do. And if they don't like it, that's on them.
Amen. And you know, it's something when you see people stand on the word of God. And it's powerful. In spite of the opposition, in spite of the challenges that come, we know that God will get the glory. And, you know, that's the bottom line, is that God will get the glory. And here Stephen is doing the will of God, and he comes against this persecution. But he's still doing it so that God will get the glory. And we're going to look at some of the persecution that he went through. If you look at verse 9, it says, reading King James Version, "Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines, and the Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia, and raised a disputing with Stephen." So you have, I call it a clique or a group. We'll call it modern day vernacular. We have a denomination. And you have all these denominations that have their own little clique, and nobody agrees with anybody. And say the Baptists don't agree with the Methodists, and the Methodists don't agree with Catholics, and the Catholics don't agree with the Holiness, and the Holiness don't agree with the Church of God in Christ, and you got the half gospel and the full gospel, and all of these groups. I didn't cover them all, but there's a lot of them out there, and they're disputing with Stephen. And you know, when they say they're disputing with Stephen, what they're doing is they're coming against, because Stephen's standing on the word of God. They're not
right.
fighting with Stephen. And this is what the church has to understand. You're not disputing with me, my flesh and blood, but you're disputing with the Spirit of God that God has given me. The only way I can do this is through the power and the Spirit of God. So you're not disputing with me. You're disputing with the Holy Ghost. And,
right.
and you're not being led by the Word of God. Because if I'm sitting down here teaching the Word of God and you're looking at the Word of God and you have a problem with the
yeah.
Word of God, you know, it's not, you know, me. It's you that have the problem with the Spirit of God. At least people had a problem with Stephen because Stephen was preaching the true gospel. He was preaching the Word of God. And it
right.
was revealing to people where these other folks were coming up short. And a lot of times what happens is when you begin to come in and you begin to start ministry and teaching through the power and anointing of God, what happens is it reveals to people where they're coming up short. Instead of
mm-hmm.
them humbling themselves and realizing, being convicted by the Spirit and changing their ways,
yep.
then they get attitude and they begin to start finding fault
right.
with you. Because the word or the ministry that you're doing is revealing to them who they are and where they're coming up short. Sheila G.
Amen. When you were saying that, it made me think about when way back in the day when people would say people were stepping on their toes or people would
mm-hmm.
say amen, say ouch. But when
mm-hmm.
When I would sit amongst the congregation, both at New Birth and other churches that I've attended, there were some people that word would cut them, to reveal it to them, and they would literally say, the pastor was talking about me today.
Amen.
And
mm-hmm.
when I was part of a minister's wives group, they used to talk to me about that, and they said, you got to remember that when the pastor is preaching, that's not him.
That's right.
That's the Holy
mm-hmm.
Spirit through him
Amen.
To the congregation. So, you know, especially when I talked to some of the pastor's wives, and I was just a minister's wife at that time, that they would tell me that for the larger congregations, that people would sometimes not speak to them
Amen.
Because they would get upset and they would literally say to them, your husband was talking about me today. He's stepping on me. And I felt like he was just pointing his finger at me. And they would always say, well, you know what? You need to take that up with the Lord. Because that is when he's in the pulpit, that's not my husband. He is just a vessel being used by God. And then when I became a pastor's wife and I would sit in there, you know, I would be sitting amongst the congregation, and people would really get an attitude about whatever pastor was talking about, whatever, you know, how it's important that you don't just speak from God's word and just go above people's head. You have to relate it to everyday life.
Mm-hmm.
And if he's reading something, everyday life that's coming through him through the Holy Spirit, you can't get offended with that man. But people literally would take it as if the pastor was mad at them and talked about pastor. But then you had those that would jokingly say, oh, pastor, you talked about me today. I need to go home and take a look at myself. That's what God wants. God is not giving that word to destroy you. No, he wants you to take a look in the mirror. And I used to love the ones that would say, pastor talked about me today, so I need to go get my life straight.
Amen.
That's what I used to say. When it came at me, I was like, oh, Lord, you talking about my little attitude. Let me get myself together, humble myself, give me God for how I acted this week. And, you know, we all had that experience. But you have to look at it as the Lord is speaking directly to you so you can grow in the Spirit, so you can stop doing certain things because we're not perfect.
Nope.
We can't sit up in church and expect to get this flowery sermon all the time and not God to us and say, okay. And when you feel that, that's the Holy Spirit speaking to your spirit,
Amen.
Saying there's some stuff in your life. I know it's happened to me where I'm like, woo. Okay, he stepped on my toes. Let me get myself together. And I went into prayer and asked God to help me. But, you
Amen.
Know, you have
Amen.
To receive it and receive God's word, even if it cuts us sometimes. But then there are those that only want a flowery sermon.
Amen.
But if you say something that I'm guilty of or something that I feel like I shouldn't be, the pastor's talking about me and he shouldn't be talking about people like You know, come on. You know, you got to, you know, then I think about Moses when he had to deal with all the people that complain. And he just got tired of it because, again,
yeah.
you've seen God's miracles.
Amen.
I have to tell you the truth. I got to tell you the good and the bad. Don't get mad at me. Pray
mm-hmm.
and talk to the Lord about it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And it's just humans. Humans are like that. And you know, I'm glad God reveals that in His Word, and you know, all these different denominations that you see here in the Word, and you know, everybody has their little slant, their little take on it, and you know, when someone starts speaking the word of God, and it's powerful like that, you know, like you said, you should just say "ouch" and keep asking God to help you with it. I always tell people, you know. If the shoe fit, wear it. I'm trying to get it off of you. I'm trying to get it off of you. so we thank God for His Word and just revealing to us who man is. Man is a peculiar people, you know. And I love the way this chapter starts off. It says, in those days. It's just, you know, these are the days of the life of our church. And you know, we were always going to have some type of issue, but we have to turn to God's Word to help us get through the issues that we have. And, you know, these folks didn't like Stephen because Stephen was preaching with power and conviction, and they couldn't do anything about it. And a lot of times people say it either draw you or drive you. And a lot of times when the pastor is preaching with anointing, power and conviction. He's preaching the word, and the word is stepping all over folk. And folk think that, you know, it's, and he's trying to be personal or you know, trying to put somebody on blast. But it's the Holy Spirit that's convicting them. Sometimes people will I can't be here anymore, and they'll leave, and you know, they'll take it personally with the person of the pastor instead of taking it up with God, like you said, Sheila G and Dr. G. And so we have to be prepared for that when that word is going out with power and conviction and you're standing on the word of God, people will try to find all kind of excuses and lies to try to say that you're not. And if you look at verse 10, it says, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. In other words, the word was so powerful, it convicted them so much that it just was to a point where, you know, it revealed to everyone who they were and the shortcomings they were. But instead of taking the right approach and saying, Father, forgive me and I want to change my way, they dug in and they tried to take Stephen out. And, you know, there's always a spirit of Antichrist that will try to remove the leaders and get leaders and people in authority out of power when their ministry is on point and in line with God. Dr. G?
And I think, too, what a lot of people forget is that when the preacher or the pastor is preaching like that, and he is full of the anointing, he's not only talking about the people, but that comes back at him also.
Amen.
He's preaching to himself because we're not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
We're still trying to improve on ourselves. And unless you call folk by name, you know, people need to get out of that stuff. I've had to live through it. I've been there, did it, heard it, and it's real. But we have to continue to do what God wants, just as Stephen did.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's so true. And again, you have to be vigilant. So we're going to go to the phone lines, and we just want to ask a question tonight. How important do we understand how important it is to remain steadfast, to remain vigilant in the Word? In faith, do we understand that you know the enemy is always looking for opening in how we have to remain steadfast? So we're going to go to the phone lines. First caller, last four digits, 1741. 1741, you're on the air.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Yes, I'm aware that you have to continue to stay in prayer and read your word and ask the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you and not get so puffed up and full of pride that you think you know everything and you got it in control, because that's when you're going to really fall.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to continually ask the Lord to guide you and lead you, and give you that spiritual insight and spiritual discernment,
mm-hmm.
and wisdom, where that you can seek His face and also be able to see when men is trying to when they're working against you, as opposed when they, you know, I guess what I'm trying to say, just ask God to give you a spiritual discernment.
Amen.
So that you will be able to see the enemy coming at you and realize that you are going to be attacked if you're a child of God. And basically, the closer you get to the Lord, sometimes the more, you know, the enemy come after you.
That's right.
Because he want to stop you. He want to destroy your walk. And if he can keep your mind focused on a foolishness, should I say, things that are not of God, then you don't have time to concentrate on what God really wants you to do. Mm-hmm. So you constantly have to ask God to keep your mind steadfast on Him.
Amen.
So that you'll be able to do what He has called you to do. And beware. Just put on, ask God to roll you every day in the full armor of God.
Amen.
And beware.
Amen.
Because the enemy, he's going to come after you. No ifs and ands about it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Amen.
So you just have to pray and ask God to equip you and help you, that you can stand in the power of His Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You're not going to be able to stand. That's the only way we're going to be able to do what God has called us to do, is to remain in the power of His Holy Spirit, in the Holy Spirit's strength.
And amen.
Stay in that word and stay in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Just constantly seek the Lord's face and, you know, just let Him know, I need the area hour. I can't go on this trip, on this journey by myself. I
Lord
need
Ember.
You. And even going to come a time that you're going to fall down, because we all, you know, we all sin, you know, come short of the glory of God. But even in that, just ask the Lord to pick you up, clean you up, and help you to go on, put you on the straight and narrow pathway. That's all we can do.
Amen.
Just give God our best. That's all.
Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you for your comment tonight. We can go to the next caller. Last four digits, 1487. 1487. You're on the air.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Yes, I realize how important it is to stay on this journey. This journey is one that I want to be on once I realize. Once He opened up my eyes and let me see the light, every morning I get off this bed, I ask the Lord for His help before I even put the other foot down. I'm telling Him, and I go to Him, and I talk to Him, because I'm thankful that I'm allowed to have a personal relationship with Him, and that's why I know that the devil is coming. He's going to always come, because
that's
His job, to come and get us. But God has given us tools to fight that devil with. You know, and if you recognize your Bible, these scriptures, those hills up there, yeah, you might get a little upset. I get a little upset, but I don't get upset like I used to, so I know God is working on me, and I believe in Him, and I believe in His faith. He done showed me what He can do. He done showed me who He is, and baby, ain't nothing like Him, okay? So I'm very thankful that I know how important it is to be with the Lord. He is the best thing that ever happened to me. Thank you.
God bless you.
Amen. Thank you for your comments tonight. We're going to go to the next caller. Last four digits, 3343. You're on the air.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Glad to see you. Hope your mother's doing fine, Pastor. And I'm glad to hear you back on the line again.
Amen.
And I know we're in church, and we say we love God. We always say we love God, but how can you love God if you go against Him? You get in the church and you're mumbling and you're murmuring and you're moaning, talking and carrying on. How can you love God? You always can tell when you're doing the right thing, because the devil's always scratching at your back, and you know you're on your knees, and you know God has got your shoulders. He ain't gonna let you give up if you're on the right road. And
that's
it's
right.
Always something that the devil's always doing his thing. But you got to stay in the Bible and keep on reading what you're reading, and you're supposed to do what you're supposed to do. Stay on the right track and follow God.
That's right.
And if you got the devil's dodge your back, just get up there and call him, and he'll get on the back of me, and he'll quiet it down and work with you. And I just listen to people talking and whatnot, and I listen to my mind, and I read, and I be trying to understand how can the people be in church and say, I love God. It brings tears to your eyes when you look at them and say, how can you say you love God? And you haven't even seen him. But every time you always call in the first, you're saying, Lord, have mercy on me. Calling God. And it's every time you get in the word, you're loving God. But if you stand every day and read the book every time it's there, you just don't love God. You just got a false on your face. And it ain't Halloween yet, though. But you got a wrong face. But thank God for that. I know he's after me all the time, but I'm steady fighting him, because I know where I came from, and I know what I'm doing.
Amen.
And I know he's fighting the devil at me. Every time I look at him, I know he's fighting me. But I called God and said, have mercy on me, Father. Please help me to this foolish thing that we have to do. We got to deal with this fool that we have to deal with. So shall we do. We stay with you. And hope that God stay with me and I stay with him. Thank you very much for listening to me. Have a good night, everybody.
Amen.
God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you. Right. Thank you for your comment tonight. You go to the next caller. Last four digits, 1411. 1411, you're on the air.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I definitely understand how important it is to be steadfast in the Word of God. Again, I've been on this journey for probably over 25 years of my life, and I had to learn it the hard way. But, you know, thank God I was able to learn that. You know, the devil's always attacking. You know, every time we grow, there's a new set of challenges. There's different types of attacks that the devil would throw at us to try to get us to go backwards, you know. And I've learned through trial and error. I've also learned by observing and seeing and listening to people's testimonies and the words of the wise many years ago. I never understood or made sense, but then, you know, as you start to get older and develop a relationship, you understand why sister so-and-so was crying, or you understand why certain days your mom just was compelled and filled with the Holy Spirit. You start to understand you know, what people go through when you start living with life, when you start working, when you start having, you know, relationships with people, you start dealing with just people all together, you truly understand, you know, how the devil operates and how the devil works. But I've found that as long as I've remained consistent being that, I may have some days where I'm not at my best. I have some days where I may stray a little bit, but I always find my way to consistently get back in that word, be in church.
Amen.
If the church is closed for whatever reason, anything, I'm going to Heart of God. I'm going to Second New St. Paul. I'm going to be in somebody's church doing something, you know. And I just thank God for my parents, because early on, you know, we never understood it, but, you know, they trained me and my brothers that it became a way of life that we instantly knew, okay, you know, you're older, you can make your own decisions. But we were so programmed to go into church, we knew, okay, mom and dad took care of step one. Phase one is to get yourself in church. Phase two now falls on me. I got to develop my relationship with Christ, because no matter how hard my mother prays, no matter how hard my father prays, no matter how much blood of Jesus they put on us and anoint us with oil, that is not going to get us into heaven. That is not going to do but so much. We have to learn how to stay steadfast and embrace the Word of God and ultimately apply it, you know, to our life. I know somebody made a comment about, you know, how man operates and how the devil attacks us, because I used to be that person to be like, why am I going through so much? You know, God's supposed to be on my side, and I know these people that I work with, these people that I see, they just happy, don't got a care in the world, but I know they're not in anybody's church. They're not in anybody's church on any Sunday morning. They're not doing anything on Sunday morning, but why does it seem like everything is going great for them? And then I realized through going to church and developing a relationship with Christ, the devil's already winning that battle. If they're not in Christ or whatever, they're not a threat. So guess what? Satan's like, well, all right, well, they don't have a relationship with Christ. They're just doing their own thing, so I'm not going to mess with them. I'm messing with the people and going to try to deter the people that are trying to get better, that are trying to get closer to Christ, that are trying to get into heaven. And that's when I realized, as your sister stated, like, the devil has a mission, and he's trying to sever that relationship and sever those ties. And as long as we keep our distance away from Christ, we're making it that much easier for Satan to attack and ultimately for us to succumb to those attacks, because he's going to always attack, but it's how we react to those attacks is what's going to determine if we're really applying the word of God to our lives. You know, he's going to know how to attack. It's not going to be your enemy.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to come in the form of a family member. It's going to come in the form of a church member. It's going to come in the form of, you know, you may get blessed with some finances. All of a sudden, everybody's got their hand out, and you got to figure out how to try to manage that. It's not going to be easy, something you can see or spot out. The attack may come in the form of a best friend, a family friend, something that you're familiar with and comfortable with. So guess what? We can let our guard down, and then they attack us where it hurts, and it catches us off guard. But I've had to go through life to learn that. It wasn't something that I came out the womb developing. I had to go through life. I had some trials. I had some tribulations. I had some ups. I had some downs. Then I got tired. I said, God, I can't keep doing this, beating my head against this wall, trying to figure it out. So I said, so instead of trying it my way, let me try it your way. Instead of just showing up and saying, well, I'm in church, let me start listening. Let me start gaining something, and then piece by piece, taking that with me outside of the walls of the church and letting it walk with me, letting it talk with me, letting it speak to my spirit and say, okay, I see what's going on. Now I can navigate the storm and try to get away from it. But I had to get consistent with God. Just as he consistently blesses us, even sometimes we don't deserve it, he consistently wakes us up every morning and says, hey, you didn't quite get it yesterday, but I'm going to give you another 24 hours to try to figure this thing out. We need to give God the same respect and give God the same opportunity, because he's not going to work with no mess. We got to humble ourselves. And I've been humbled on numerous occasions, and it's been brutal and it's been bad, but I had to be a man, and I had to wake up and say, this is my fault. This is my doing. It's nobody else's fault but me. And then at that point in time, the word of God spoke to me and said, now I can use you. Now you're ready to take that step. Yeah. It's going to be uncomfortable, but guess what? You stay humble and you keep moving forward. So again, it's a relationship. And just like any relationship we have, everybody's got to do their part. God has given us the tools and given us everything that we need, and he's going to keep his word. He's going to do what he has to do, but we got to meet him halfway. And if we don't, nothing is going to happen. We're going to continue to be in the same rut and continue to go through the same storms that we've always gone through. But again, it's about being consistent, and I've learned that, and I appreciate that, you know, because I'm a work in progress, and I'm still going to work. But I can tell you this much, effort is something that you can't teach. You have a desire to try to put forth the effort to try to do it. And I'm going to keep trying as long as God allows me to, and I have breath in my body. I'm going to continue to work at this thing until ultimately he calls me home to be with the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for your comment tonight, COG. And good to be back on the line. Any final comments, and close it out with a word of prayer, please?
Amen. I think everybody said it, that the closer we get to Christ, the more Satan's going to come at us. But the closer we get to Christ, the stronger we'll be. And we have to be vigilant and take our victories and celebrate our victories, even in the midst of confusion. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for once again allowing us to expound on your word, Lord. I pray, Father, that we would take this word and apply it to our lives on a daily basis, Lord, recognizing that if we stand on your word, we will always have the victory, and we'll always be able to fight the devil off. And as long as he's coming at us, that knows that we are doing what we need to do, Lord. I pray that we will take this, that we will hide it in our hearts, but we will also be an example to you for others, and so that we can draw others to Christ. In your precious name we do pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, that's going to do it for us tonight. Prayerfully, we'll see you again on next Thursday night. Good night.
Good night.